Well, it's finally happened. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a formal impeachment inquiry of President Trump. This means Democrats and Republicans will soon be voting to impeach the president and boot him out of office once and for all. What took you so long?
Trump went nuts on Twitter, predictably calling it a witch hunt. Then immediately afterwards called Nancy Pelosi, asking if they could figure something out. Today, comedian Shannon Knoll joins us to talk about their trepidation navigating the healthcare system as a non-binary person and what to do with their recently prescribed big juicy gel pack of delicious testosterone.
Plus, a nude painting of Channing Tatum with his nuts hanging out sells for $6,600 on eBay.
And a German high court rules that being hungover is an illness.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. It's time to impeach the president, honey.
Woo!
Woo! And peaches and cream. Lick it up, honeys, because they don't come twice in a lifetime. well, joining we'll us see. Today is comedian Shannon Knoll.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
How's the gender business?
Oh, the gender business. raking in the cash, you know?
Now, for people who may not be familiar with you, you are a well-known and beloved comedy figure here in Chicago.
Thank you.
And you are also make a lot of material based on your nonconformity when it comes to your sexuality and gender. You could also describe you as an artisanal when it comes to these things.
Yes, I'm like a finely aged cheese of gender. It's disgusting.
And before we started taping, we were realizing that most pornography is not made for the person that consumes it. You know, if you're a queer person or if you're a same gender loving or trans or whatever, and you're watching a pornography that you think is for you, but because you're in the minority in terms of the ability to pay for that, chances are the company that makes it is actually making it for somebody else as well.
Well, for I think gay guys watching gay porn don't realize that the biggest consumers of gay porn are straight women who get off on it.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure all lesbians know when they're watching lesbian porn that it's made for men.
Oh my God, 100%. You're just like, this is not what any of us do.
She has fingernails.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Also, like, these
women. Wait a
minute,
Shannon. What would you know about that?
Nothing.
You're non-binary. This is not the
there
porn.
There was a time.
Yeah. I mean, there was a brief time where I never identified as lesbian. It never fit, but I definitely
said gay. You were an Ellen.
Yeah. Does Ellen only say gay?
I don't know.
When Ellen came out, she famously said, yep, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And people are like, where's the L word? And then the series The L Word came on television.
And they were like, well, here's the L word in West Hollywood. And we all have billions of dollars.
Mm. Listen, you know, if I were a lesbian, I would want to be a rich lipstick lesbian with fingernails and lipstick.
If you're the one with the fingernails, fine, but your partner is like gonna be a pillow princess.
Is that the main clue with lesbian porn though, is the fingernails?
It's not just that. It's also the just none of the stuff they do looks like it feels good. There's a lot of like rough bumping that is not helping anybody.
I remember, you know, back in the day on Cinemax, we used to call it Skinemax before, you know, I'd probably ever seen
Sexamax.
Porn. Sexamax is they'd have like the softcore porn stuff. And it was always girls in hot tubs, and they spent so much time licking each other's breasts.
Yes.
I'm just kind of like, God, you're gonna wear that nipple off.
And there's some women who I think or people who like get off on having their nipples touched, but I don't think in the way that they do in those videos.
Maybe I'm a lesbian to the point that it frustrates some guys. They're like, aren't you into anything else? And I'm like, ooh, lick my nips.
The crazy thing is, Fausto's in all these movies.
You thought you were getting lesbian porn.
He's got the tits for it.
I got nice tits. How about you, darling? That's from Showgirls.
Oh, I just watched that movie for the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you like it?
Oh, I love it. Except for the end. That was an unnecessary.
It's really harsh, isn't it?
It is. It feels like one of those.
You didn't like the fact that Crystal Connors and Elizabeth Berkley reconcile their animosity towards each other? What? part could you possibly be talking about? Spoiler alert.
I know, right? Could you imagine? Yeah.
I didn't see. Well, I skipped to go to the bathroom. Did I miss anything towards the end of it?
Oh, nothing at all. It was no big plot point or anything. Yeah, it was just a little.
And what we're talking about here for people out, you should skip this, is the notorious sexual assault scene in Showgirls, where this minor character, for no reason at all, she gets brutally, brutally attacked.
Yeah, which it just feels like one of those like 90s plot points where they did that.
And I wouldn't say there's no reason at all. It was to show that how horrible a place entertainment is and Las Vegas is and what it takes to rise to the top and to stay there. And our heroine of the show just wasn't going to take that shit anymore. And so she just, you know, she basically destroyed her career because she was standing up for principles.
And she finally discovered that she won in Las Vegas, me, because her name was Nomi, and now she has herself.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Yes. The most valuable treasure
is herself.
Is herself. When you're Elizabeth Berkeley, it's not much, but, you know, it's still something.
I'm still waiting for an authentic sequel. It deserves a sequel.
Well, did it have a sequel? Pennies
from Heaven.
Well, there was one person involved in the show who decided she was going to make like a boycott. When you tape something that like on a show that's not
an unlicensed sequel to it.
Ooh, yes. I love the idea of that. Yeah. I want to make unlicensed sequels to a lot of movies.
That's basically slash fiction is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if people fall in love with the characters in these popular books or movies and they feel like they didn't get to explore the romantic side of these characters. And so they expand upon it.
And they're just like, well, like, what about the life of why didn't Eeyore have a boyfriend?
Yeah. And Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And why do they call him Winnie the Pooh?
I think I know why they called him Winnie the Pooh.
You know, and part of it is like, if you go into these, you know, fan fiction websites for erotica, it can be a wonderful black hole to lose yourself in.
Yeah.
And I just today discovered a site called the Stucky Library.
Ooh, yes.
He's like, Stucky Library. I'm like, what the hell is a Stucky?
Yeah.
He's like, you don't know what a Stucky is? I'm like, no, nobody knows.
It sounds like a candy bar.
Yeah, right?
It is a candy bar.
Stucky's, I think, was a truck stop. Isn't it a Stucky's, truck stop?
Yeah, it is a truck stop in the South, kind of.
Yeah, Kentucky, Tennessee.
That kind of middle South, whatever you call it.
It's a collection of fan fiction between people who want to see Steve Rogers, the man who became Captain America, and Bucky Barnes, who became the Winter Soldier, exploring their friendship and sexual relationship and romantic relationship during simpler times in Brooklyn and New York.
None of this Stucky stuff happens while he's Captain America.
Most of it's beforehand. It's all prequel. There is some, you know, afterwards, but the majority of it is. And so the categories here, and you think, you know, if you're
category is,
if you think you're doing like, you know, erotic fictional stories, what kind of categories would you use?
Oh my God. You'd have like, teacher student.
Yeah.
You have like,
and this is, by the way, this is a collection of everything.
Yeah.
So it starts with, you know, for example, angry sex, barebacking, bondage. Ooh, you know, and then it gets kind of more wild into daddy kink, forced feminization, which is wonderful. Seeing Captain America wearing lipstick. And veganism.
Veganism is a fetish?
Veganism is a sexual fetish. I haven't read the story about it, but...
Okay.
Then there's Acrobat Bucky, Alien Bucky, Cat Bucky, where Bucky gets turned into a cat by Loki. And then
Steve Rogers fucks the cat?
Is it furry?
Seduces him.
Is it?
Or something. So there's a kind of a furry thing going on.
Yeah.
Feral Bucky, Gamer Bucky, when it takes place in modern times when Bucky's a gamer. Progressive Punk, Bucky.
What?
Vampire Bucky. So it's a, you know, Twilight kind of thing going on here.
Yacht Rock Bucky.
And then there's the type of hipster Steve, ghost Steve, when he dies and he haunts Bucky in his dreams. And chubby Steve, because, you know, the super soldier serum malfunctioned and made him just large and in charge. Autistic Steve, Android Steve, pre-serum and post-serum Steve. And there, but interestingly enough, there's a werewolf and witch Steve, but there's no bodybuilder or like muscle worship, which is a sexual fetish.
Yeah.
And so like, all, you know, that this is already written by women, because it's like, nobody is talking about like the size of his penis or his body or, you know, things that,
you
like,
don't think that women would talk about the size of penis.
I don't know, but it's not in this collection. Explain it to me.
Is that one where he just gets this big giant dong or something?
Yeah, like the, you know, because it's all possibilities of their relationship in alternate universes or circumstances, mm-hmm. right? And what's interesting is just like all the permutations, like the categories are just as fascinating as the story. There's a knitting fetish. They go on a road trip and fall in love. They celebrate Steve's
birthday.
Okay,
yeah, that is written by women.
You know, they're period typical homophobia.
There's a homophobia fetish. I guess that makes sense.
Where they're like, oh, did you think they caught us? Oh,
is that like sneaky?
Yeah, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, it's
let's see what the multiple orgasms one is.
There's a multiple orgasm.
Yeah. It's, you know, and part of it is like, you got
to
read.
Steve is very rich and desperate to feel in control of his life again after a recent divorce has left him feeling bitter and lonely. When he keeps crossing paths with a disaster 20 something, an unconventional solution presents itself. Steve's always been one for following his instincts. Bucky is broke and can't seem to catch a break, especially after some asshole fires him for one fucking mistake. So, of course, it follows that he should sign a contract agreeing to do everything and anything that same asshole wants for a whole year in exchange for a payoff that could finally change his life for the better. What?
I like it when Bucky is ballet teacher and Steve Rogers is one of his students.
Oh,
that one sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, when they're crossing the line. And when Bucky worked as an art model. And Steve Rogers was drawing him. I was like, I don't know. So to me, it's just, you know, it's interesting. Like whenever I'm looking at adult films and suddenly, you know, and I'm not shopping for bisexual erotic films, but every now and then there's a woman in there for some reason.
And you're like, where?
And I'm like, why is this here? I was like, oh, yeah, because I'm not the audience for it.
Because it's made for women. I think the reason partially for that is I've heard a couple of different ideas about it. Is that like, well, for one thing, if you're watching like straight porn, it just doesn't ever feel like, I'm always worried for the woman in it. I'm always like, oh, she's getting abused.
She's
just
being
like
exploited.
She's being exploited. Also in this moment, she's clearly not turned on. And it's just,
oh, you can pick up on it.
Oh, easily. It's just like, it's disturbing to me to watch.
So what, like, can they just make porn where the women are turned on into it?
I mean, you would think so.
But they're not even aware of or even picking up on that.
I think that straight men, and I think that it messes with straight men too, because then when they actually have sex, they're like, oh, this is like what a woman looks like turned on, and they have no idea.
Oh, so it's actually misinforming. No wonder like people who consume a lot of pornography tend to not have the best. And, you know, I'm encouraging people to look at erotic films because that's sometimes how you learn things. You know?
I mean, I think that it can be super educational, but I think that it's like horrible when it's like not.
When it's misinforming you and creating unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, the stuff that they like do to women in those is just like it not.
Some women probably like it somewhere.
I think some there's stuff. Yeah,
there's certainly if it's crossing the line, that's it's going to turn somebody on.
Well, what's the stuff like the rule on the internet? If there's a porn, if there's something
you can
out
conceive
there,
it'll happen.
Porn out there for it.
Well, I think it's more like how they're like, oh, this guy is like fingering this woman, and he's just like jamming his fingers at her, and not like just that doesn't do a lot for most people.
No, you want to be gentle.
Well, in some countries, like, you know, the consumption of pornography is so intense that they have like laws And, you know, like in the United States, we don't have a rehab for someone who's addicted for porn. Mm-hmm. But in some Asian countries, that's very common, actually.
Well, really? Like in Japanese porn, they blur out the genitals sometimes.
Yeah.
I think most of the time or something like that, if it's produced there. And they have all sorts of weird torture porn, too, and tentacle porn, which is just a wild. And then in the UK, some forms of porn is illegal. Like
really?
If somebody gets, like, some of the BDS porn, some of the kink porn is, it's against the law. You can't produce it there. Of course, they can't stop you from consuming it through a website or anything like that if you really want to watch it. But you wouldn't be able to make it there or else you get prosecuted.
Really? See, that seems like, it seems like those aren't the ones that they should be watching out for. It seems more like the ones where it's like, just regulate how they're produced so that not as many people get exploited.
Mm. Well, and in Japan, you know, like they're very obsessed with the cleanliness of their bums when they poop. And, you know, famously in television shows, and so have you ever experienced like a bidet from a Japanese toilet is a miracle.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's, you know, it sings and dances and has fans in it and squirts warm water and soap and exactly where it should go. But now the latest must have product to take to the bathroom in Japan is not high tech, but artisanal toilet paper.
Ooh, what's it made out of?
It's made by hand. It's specially fabricated, created paper that is so delicate that it needs to be spooled by hand. And people describe it as like soft like clouds.
Really? Wow.
Of course, I think, you know, because they have that advanced toilet technology, I think, you know, like people would scream, and you know, bloody murder for $12 a toilet, a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, but if it's nice toilet paper, you know.
Well, so the thing about it is,
it's not Scott single ply. Yeah.
They're using, you know, the machine to clean themselves, and the toilet paper is like the towel at the end. Mm. It's not like us where we wiping ourselves with the towel, and that's
there's all a restaurant we go to up in Devon Avenue, which is, you know, a lot of middle Indian Pakistani food, and they have a little thing of water next to the toilet, so you could just, you know, put the water on your whatever and
foreskin
just, like, and.
Is it really?
To wash your foreskin, yeah.
I thought it was to wash your butt.
Or your butt.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You both have been putting different body parts in that water.
Well, you know, it's a little water to pour on it.
Oh, it's to pour on it? It's not a dipping situation?
No. I think you, like, dip your hand and then get some water in your hand. Kind of like
You're not supposed to get the water dirty, no.
No?
No. That's...
Well, or you pour it between your legs or something like that?
Wow. I want to know what everyone has done with this water, because...
It's like a little tea kettle.
Yeah.
Made out of plastic. And you're like...
It's sitting on the floor next to the toilet.
Yeah, I would think that would be a neti pot you put in your nose.
No, don't do that.
So...
Don't put that in your nose.
They should really label that thing.
We had a house guest once, and she was from a foreign country, and or her mother was, or something like that. She asked for a a bowl so she could take it to the bathroom, because she was gonna. She goes, "That's what we do. Like where I'm from, is just take a bowl, fill it with water, and just wash ourselves like over the toilet."
Over the toilet.
Yeah, and I was just like. Okay.
She didn't want to do it.
She didn't want to take a shower, I guess, or whatever, for whatever reason.
I'm just noticing that, like, for the last, you know, 18 minutes, we've been talking about porn and our butts and all the stuff. But, you know, the top news story is Trump getting impeached.
Well, and part of it,
he's a piece of shit. And part of it is like, I don't even, you know, I'm kind of like at this point. What took you so long?
What took you so long? But also, too, you just kind of feel like, you know, maybe this is something that they can finally get him on, because it's, you know, they do have a whistleblower. There's somebody that's willing to come forward. They're saying that Trump had even, like, said, delay paying the Ukraine until we get information on Joe Biden's son and what he was doing in the Ukraine. And also, what was Joe Biden's son doing in the Ukraine?
I mean, Biden,
these are some of his tweets from today. So his first tweet was like, such an important day at the United Nations, so much work and so much success, and the Democrats purposely had to ruin and demean it with more breaking news witch hunt garbage. So bad for the country. And then tweet number two was Pelosi, Nadler, Schiff, and of course, Maxine Waters. Can you believe this? ? And then number three, they never even saw the transcript of the call. A total witch hunt. And then fourth is presidential harassment.
This is his tweets are more understandable than Cher's.
I love Cher's tweets.
I love Cher.
But you trust Cher's because Cher knows how to use emojis.
Yes.
Emoji game is strong.
I miss Carrie Fisher and her tweets. Her tweets were gold.
Legendary. And part of it is, Trump's like, I'll be happy to show. I would love to show you the transcripts, but just they won't let me.
And then he was like, actually, it would be bad for me to show you the transcript within like a day.
So, hopefully it's not a, what is the term when you're chasing after something? It's not a distraction.
Yeah, a wild goose.
Well, we'll see, though, too. I think also, too, they, people have been begging for some kind of impeachment because it seems like he's done so many things. He's violated the emoluments clause so many times. You'd think they'd be able to get him on that. But I think also, too, the Democrats were waiting because they're like, let's get this. We might not be able to push this all the way, but at least we're going to get this into the election cycle, because otherwise, if they had done this last year, they might have started the impeachment process and then it would have ended and it would have caught nothing and then he would have been vindicated. But at least now they can be like during the entire election, be like, he's under, impeachment investigation.
Didn't the CanStar report just take years and years for it to like they can drag this out as much as they want to?
I mean, and I feel like if they keep on, this is just like poking holes in his armor, because he's going to always have a comeback and he's always going to have some way back from anything horrible. But at least if we can pile up enough stuff, hopefully he won't get reelected. Or
that's my concern, and certainly like he's more than happy to steal and cheat and connive, and Republicans are happy to go along with everything. Yeah. So
I mean, the deck is stacked in their favor with the gerrymandering and the Electoral College. So it's just like, do our votes even count?
They better.
I don't know. I'm not real optimistic about it, but hopefully.
I told this one guy, I was like, he's from Indiana. He's getting jobs in Canada. I'm like, go to Canada and don't look back.
Go.
Run.
But he's like, it's not all rosy there either. There's a lot of jerks up in Canada.
Racists and Nazis and fascists. And but at least they have universal health care.
And education's affordable,
Yeah.
Speaking of, how's your health care coming along?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Your artisanal.
My artisanal gender health care. well, I'm working on it. I went to go get testosterone. I want to start.
All right. Party. Yeah,
party time.
Yes.
I want to do.
Why are you wanting to get right testosterone?
Kind of the right kind of tea. Right.
Because, the other one's Christina.
Matt. Yeah. Yeah.
Not both.
Off of one onto another. No.
Just jumping from tea to tea.
And so you got yourself. But why are you wanting to get on testosterone?
So I want to subtly masculinize myself. I feel like part of it is that I get misgendered wildly all the time, and I want people to just kind of naturally read me as more masculine and be a little bit more confused.
I want you to be as confused as I am.
Yeah, I want you to be. I want to make every baby boomer so uncomfortable.
Is that really like a? I mean, you're also in your ideal space. You swing masculine.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm just like, I don't even know. I don't know if it's a sphere or a line, but in the gender spectrum, I would consider myself just over the line to masculine. Like, I think I'm like a pretty boy kind of. All right. Pretty boy.
Well, Shannon.
So you're like, I want to grow some facial hair or something. Yeah.
I would like a little bit deeper voice, a more masculinized face, broader shoulders, mostly I want to be like a real feminine twink.
Wow, you're going to be so marginalized and scapegoated. How will you survive?
How will I survive, right?
I want to be a muscular blonde man.
Yeah. Here's what I'm actually doing. I am.
So you're diving into the tea.
Yeah. So I'm diving into the tea. And it's difficult to find information yet about low dose testosterone. A lot of people are doing it, but it's not widely studied or understood by the healthcare community yet. And so I think like with a lot of trans healthcare, a lot of it is word of mouth right now.
It's always kind of been that way.
You would think here in Chicago, though, you'd be able to find a really good provider because we do have such a strong trans community here.
Right.
And but usually they're like, even with trans folks, it's usually word of mouth of where you go to if you want to get any kind of surgery, if you want to any kind of doctor that understands what it is and what to do and where you want to go and is sympathetic. Because you just were saying that you had a nurse practitioner who was like, all right, how many milligrams of testosterone do you want to inject up your butt?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like I went in specifically asking for a consultation. Yeah. And it was her first day. It was in it, but she was like very clearly a straight lady and was just like on her computer the whole time, not really paying attention to what I was saying. And I was like, I'm non-binary. She didn't quite seem to know what that was. And I was like, I want to take this incredibly slowly because I want to be able to like monitor the changes. Mm-hmm. And I was like hoping that she would have some insight about how to do that. And she's like, great, we'll get you injected today. So those changes happen real fast. And I was like, no.
Slowly.
Yeah. I was like, dear God, please. No, I don't want to just like sprout a beard overnight. Like I want to take this slow and kind of see how it feels, see what feels right for me.
Yeah. So you said slow and she said fast.
She was like, you mean fast?
Slow.
And she's like, fast.
Slow.
Fast.
Male. And she's like, which gender do you want to be?
Yeah. She was like, okay, so you're here for cancer research?
No really? Way.
No.
I was like, you know, one time I have avocado hand.
Yeah.
Which I stabbed my left hand making guacamole. Mm-hmm. Now my sister had made some, magic was it ginger snaps and didn't tell me.
Oh,
so I had two of those and I'm just like, you know, what's going on? And I'm like stabbing my hand with a knife.
So you thought your hand like was reefer an avocado
madness, like reefer madness. Totally. And yeah. So I had to get surgery and but before the surgery happened, I wrote on my right hand wrong hand with Sharpie, because I saw one of those Oprah specials. Like these tips.
People have gotten like their arms amputated. Like that was the wrong arm.
Oh my God.
And sure enough, when we got to the hospital, he picks up my right hand and says, is this the hand? And I was like, and he sees wrong hand.
Oh my God.
And he's like, oh, okay. Do the left hand.
That is wild.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to cut me. But yeah, so the surgery was a success and now my hand is stronger than ever.
Ooh. That's why avocado toast is so expensive, because of all the injuries.
Because you frequently cut your hand because your sister gives you magic ginger snaps.
Well, you could just use a spoon too, folks. Now a little late for me, but PSA. But it is now called avocado hand when you accidentally stab your hand while you're making guacamole. It's that common.
Because so many people have stabbed their hands.
Yes.
Look how far we've come. We've started making so much guacamole in the United States that we have a whole medical condition. Yeah, look at this. We are just have so much money to spend on avocados.
But trans health, eh.
And so, we can't figure that out.
So where'd you leave it with them?
So I got a prescription, and she did kind of have, she had never prescribed gel before. So testosterone comes in different forms.
Sure.
A couple of them being shots and then gel. And she was like, I've never prescribed this, but I've heard that this is a slower way to do it. So I'll prescribe you the gel. And then, you know, this is a low dose, but we'll up it from there. And I just had a funny feeling about it. So I picked up the prescription, which also whole other thing at the pharmacy where they treat testosterone like a controlled substance. So I had to like wait 3 days for it, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at this particular pharmacy. Okay. It was just a whole
You
other...
might get too strong.
I know, right? Like, woo.
Hulk out.
You know? I was like, and here's the thing. Like, I have gotten controlled substances from pharmacies that I shouldn't have gotten before.
Oh.
And I was like...
Party.
I was like, but this is not fun like that. So,
oh.
I mean, it's fun, but it's not the same. So,
can you brush your teeth with testosterone gel?
Could you? You could try.
Or, I mean, you're supposed to smear it in your armpits.
You're supposed to, what I can find is that you're supposed to put it on your upper arms. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that from someone who's taking it for 4 years, low dose, said the best way is on your inner arm, like your elbow, inside your elbow.
Didn't a character in Transparent, she was taking testosterone gel supplementation and it made her sexual. And of course they use it as like, an excuse for her sexually harassing one of her graduate students.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, I think it was the next to final season. Now they're doing a musical without the actor who
is that even happening now?
And I was just like, this show just went off the rails real fast.
You know, I would love to see so many shows turn their last season into a musical. I think that is the way to go. Like after they had to recast West Wing, musical.
So you haven't taken it that?
I haven't because what I found is like a number of people who want similar to what I want were taking half the dose that she gave me. And so, and some people were taking the dose that she gave me, but I feel like I want to get a second opinion before
that's
I start.
That's always smart, but also too, it's like, you know, doesn't it go with the gel? Does it come out of a tube or is it a patch or is it?
This one is, there's different kinds. You can get a pump or you could get a packet, and I got the packets. So I could take, I think I am antsy to start taking it. So I might even, I have a consultation set up, but okay.
What are you worried that'll happen?
I'm afraid that I've also heard that if you take too low of a dose, that it can turn into estrogen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How would that even work?
I don't know, but like, so this is all.
It's not witchcraft.
You know? It is witchcraft.
I thought it was like if you have too much, it'll get turned into estrogen.
Right. But what I've heard is that because women, cis women will take it to up their sex drive.
Sure.
And they don't want to masculinize. So they take it at such a low dose that it actually turns into estrogen, which I
like don't, it doesn't bind with the receptors in the body.
I guess. Again, it's like all this stuff I'm trying to put together from 13-year-olds on YouTube. So, like, I don't know, you know?
Well,
Aiden doesn't have
healthcare.
The best advice. Yeah.
Well, worst case scenario, you revert back to the gender you were assigned to at birth, and you just start from square one.
I suppose so. I mean, you know, if I grow my boobs terrible. Back, then
you're like, all right, get these off.
I came back, doc.
Well, you know, I do. There are some like bodybuilders who enjoy having a breast tissue on their pecs, who are juicing, you know, who are taking. They're not managing their testosterone cycles well. And so they call them bitch tits, which I love saying.
And they can actually produce milk sometimes.
And they lactate.
Yeah. So if you search for that on YouTube, you can see this one guy who's like squirting milk like Lady Bunny does on stage.
Well, that'll be a nice interlude to these 13-year-olds talking about healthcare.
I like saying bitch tits. I like looking at them. I like licking them. How do you like them? They're all right. You want to watch me squirt some milk here?
It's like a teenage girl. Like I was friends with this girl who went to camp with a girl who lactated just naturally.
All right.
And she would just apparently in the cabin at night would just stand there squirting milk across the cabin.
Oh, without touching her nips?
I think she squeezed them, but it would just shoot milk out.
My friend Kathy, she had a kid and she's like, yeah, I had a kid. And then I would go out to, you know, after I was like done breastfeeding, I'm like, I wanted to go out and party. So I'd go out to the bar and then in the middle of the night, I'd be drinking. Then I'd just go into the sink. And I just squeezed my titty out.
Just wring them out.
She's like, because otherwise they start leaking.
I bet. I mean, there's all sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. With like, I'm glad mine are gone.
And you had a double mastectomy, so.
Yeah, it was a.
Now you got a bro chest.
Yeah. What did they call it? It was. Look, I didn't finish high school, so I don't remember all the medical terms for it, but I got my tits chopped off. I got my GED.
Okay.
I dropped out.
Well, it's about the same thing.
Yeah.
In the United States. Yeah. But you got a PhD in trans health.
Yes, I now have a PhD thanks to YouTube.
Piled high and deep.
Yeah.
So you're going to call me when you start rubbing it on.
Yeah.
Hey, Fausto, I just put some on.
Do you want to hear it rub on my skin?
you're going to get horny when you do it.
Yeah, that's probably. What I've heard. Here, I have like a very.
Do you have friends, a romantic. You know, people you can call.
Do you have a Hitachi wand?
Do I have? I do not, but I do have a friend.
Okay.
But I
who
have
can
like
help
a,
you with that.
I have a very naturally incredibly low sex drive, so I feel like it might just bring me back to like an average range. We'll see.
That'd be good. So you won't get any work done.
Yeah, I won't get any. It's going to be a
there
real.
There goes Shannon Knoll's comedy career. Rest in peace, 2019.
There goes Shannon Knoll on the road for comedy. No.
farewell to Trump, the president, and Jenahl's comedy career.
Right. Getting nothing done.
What have you been up to, Shannon? Just having a lot of sex.
Yeah.
My apartment's dirty. There's underwear everywhere.
The dishes don't get cleaned.
My poor cat is That's running feral.
Laying around in my tea.
Yeah.
Soaking
my cat
it all
goes
in.
On tea.
Hey, what's do you have a nickname for your sexual friend? Maury.
Yeah, let's call her Maury Povich.
Maury. Hey, Maury, bring some of that gel. I feel a little low.
Maury, juice me up.
And you zip it like an endurance athlete and squirt it into your mouth.
Kind of like, that's definitely not how you take it.
Yeah, folks, do not take medical information from podcasts. Just
yeah,
please, or YouTube videos. Yeah, YouTube is better.
I feel like, honestly, YouTube was better than that doctor that I saw.
There is some shit out there that is just like, I threw out my back last week, and I've been like all over YouTube, like learning shit. And Dr. Oz has like a video. He says to take Devil's Claw.
Mm. Ooh, Dr. Oz, what?
And a supplement called Devil's Claw.
What does that do?
It's supposed to like alleviate swelling, because it's the tissue between the bones in your spine is swollen. It's bleeding to some degree, spinal fluid. And so the Devil's Claw reduces the inflammation. But wow. I'm like, it's so metal.
That's such a wild. Also, Dr. Oz is so vanilla to hear him say Devil's Claw.
You need to take the Devil's Claw.
We had Mimi Einfurst, who's a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race, insists when she was a sex worker that Dr. Oz was one of her clients.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just like,
she says believe a lot it.
Of things. He paid for that.
All right.
Well, just because, you know, like there was this one guy who was begging me to like insult. He wanted me to bottom for him. And he was going to pay me a lot of money, and he wanted me to insult him. And I was like, why would I want to sit on your shriveled up, ugly troll dick?
And he paid you a ton of money.
And he was like, y'all, I'm so in love with you. Oh my God. You know, 'cause I was really channeling the Electra,
Dominique
Jackson from Pose, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're so like, I was using the same lines from Pose on this guy. And he was loving
it. He was into it.
Yeah. He was like, I said, well, buy me an iPhone. I want an iPhone 11 Pro Max Plus to extreme.
That's a great way to get stuff.
And he was like, oh, you're going to break my bank, baby. You're going to break my bank. And I was like, oh, come on, daddy. Let's go shopping. You suck. You miserable punk.
He always gets these guys to offer him money for sex, but they never follow through. I'm just like, listen, Fausto.
Oh, it's so much fun to fantasize.
Oh, you got to get that money.
You know,
I'm not,
I'd be like, Venmo me this monster money if you want to continue this conversation.
Hey, folks.
Right.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of the generous support of some of the listeners of the show. But some of the other people, the majority of the people, you know, they're not ponying up even a dollar on Patreon, you know? And I'm like, and we give it away.
Patreon.
All the time.
You mean patreon.com/feastoffun?
It is. And you know, for right now, if you give $1, I will retouch your Facebook photo to put Billy Porter's hat from the Emmys on it.
Ooh, now that sounds like a bet.
Do you want me to do that for you?
Yes, please. Do I owe you $1?
No. Well, your presence here is a contribution to the podcast.
Fantastic. Then yes, I do. That sounds great.
Your presence is a present.
Ooh.
I put some gel on.
I put gel on. Hey, Fausto.
Shannon, we don't have that kind of relationship yet.
Wait till the gel takes me away a little bit too far.
Yeah, you're going to be out of control.
Yeah, I hope not. Here's the thing, too. I'm terrified of teenage boys.
Why?
So,
well, you'll become one.
Exactly. They are reckless and they destroy things. And I just decorated my apartment. And I can't.
Well, what are some of the effects of like for testosterone is like not caring about shit sometimes. Like,
yeah, you're gonna break that vase. Yeah.
That's what I'm scared of. Yeah. I remember in high school, I was terrified of all my male friends because they would come over and just break everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like a cat. Impulsive.
Yeah, and I have a cat. and I've trained her
not to break things.
Yeah. And then she's going to see me and she's going to be like, well, fuck it. And she's going to start breaking stuff again.
That sounds like a Greek wedding or something. At your house.
Just screaming. Oppa.
Oppa. It ain't a party until something's broken. That's wonderful, though. It's so exciting to open up new doors and new horizons. Mm-hmm. And
people, you know, take risks, like this little boy who's 11 years old in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Meets a man on Snapchat.
How old is this man? This sounds like
a horrible beginning to a story.
Well, the boy's 11. The man, we don't know how old he is because the boy said, he said, come live with me. So the boy steals his brother's car, drives 200 miles and then pulls up at 12:30 in the morning to a police officer looking for some address or something like that because the GPS tablet wasn't working and he couldn't find this guy's address anymore because the Snapchat message had disappeared and was just like, I'm looking for this dude to go live with him. And he's just like, wait a second, you're 11 years old, you're driving a car, you drove 2 hours, this is a person you don't even know. It's just kind of like, it's insane.
What? How tall was this 11-year-old that he could drive a car?
11-year-olds are really tall these days. You know what I mean?
All those growth hormones.
I went to high school with one guy who was bald and had a beard and chest hair. Yeah, and it was like, you're like an adult. Like, he was like, he was hot.
Yeah.
But he was like,
he was bald in high school. He was
smoking cigars. Like, he was like baby.
He was older.
You know, like that baby that smokes cigars.
Yeah, boss baby.
Yeah. Like, totally like that, you know?
I remember being in fifth grade and my friends at the cafeteria lunch table, and none of us had gone through puberty yet because I think that happened the summer after fifth grade. And there was a boy in sixth grade who had like a full beard, but he shaved because we went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting there eating and we're talking about how he's got like a full beard. And my one friend goes, I bet he produces sperm. And we all just like laughed. And I just like think about that every now and then.
Oh my God. Just like,
wow. Bet he produces sperm. And I bet he did.
Yeah. That was, see, for the girls, it was like if you had a sleepover, whoever you thought probably had already gotten their period, mm-hmm. you would accuse them of bleeding somewhere in the house. You'd be like, I heard Danielle bled in the hot tub.
Oh,
that's so terrifying. Mean.
So teenage girls are equally as terrifying. Who's more evil?
Teenage girls, teenage boys, teenage non-binary, teenage trans girls. Who is the most evil teenager?
I'm going to say boys probably. I mean, girls can be mean and vicious and stuff like that, but girls can also be very supportive of each other.
I don't know.
Also, too, I mean, girls aren't as likely to hold a guy down and, like, stick a broom handle up their ass. You know what I mean?
But they do. Girls are mean, though. They know how to be mean in ways that...
Psychological warfare.
They know ways that, like, you don't learn. I haven't seen guys learn until they're, like, 30s, you know?
Mm-hmm. I got off easy in high school. I'm, like, hearing all these people's stories. I'm just like, the worst thing my bully ever did was like, you know, make fun of me, you know, like to my face.
Yeah.
But it was in like a situation where he was busy and he was rich, you know? So he's like, I'm going on a vacation for 3 weeks to, you know, to Germany. I'll be back, but you know,
let me bully you in between.
Like he was so privileged and wealthy that he just didn't even, he was too lazy to bully.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's like the best. See, I didn't remember that I was bullied until I, friends told me, like I ran into a friend from high school and she was like, you were bullied really bad. And I was like, I don't remember any of it. The only instance I remembered that I was like, I wonder if this was bullying, when this kid named Muzzy ran down the stairs and punched me in the head. And
that's
then,
bullying.
Yeah. I was like, I guess like I didn't understand it was bullying. And my friends who were with me were, this is what girls do though. So you might get punched in the head. The girls that I was with, I was like, ow, Muzzy just punched me in the head. And they were like, no, he didn't.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, he did.
Psycho.
Yeah. So they like gaslit me about something that they didn't even do.
Why would they do that?
Just to be mean.
Oh yeah, I observed that one time. The teenage girls who are fans of drag queens and RuPaul's Drag Race, when they get together, some you'd think, you know, you're fans of a marginalized group of people on television and stuff. No, it's they're like, they get empowered, you know, like a pack of dogs suddenly becomes a pack of wolves, you know?
Yeah.
And they start bullying adults.
Oh, and, God. Yeah. Teens are terrifying.
And I'm just like, what? And I got into trouble because I went up to a gaggle of teenage girls who were like, what they were doing is, as people entered this room, they would all fake applaud for them.
And it was kind of terrifying.
And it was kind of like really mean and like, you know, because it is a conference where there are a lot of drag performers. A lot of people are, you know, marginalized. They're insecure about themselves. And here this, you know, very confident, very mean group of mean girls sitting there, you know, harassing people as they come in through the sliding doors of a side lobby in a hotel. And I just went up to them and said, you know, we want to create a space here where everybody is welcome. And, you know, I know you guys are having a lot of fun applauding and, you know, kind of punking with people here, but it's not cool. And it's, you know, scary to some people and it's, you know, it's mean. And I know that you guys really don't want to do that. And so, you know how those girls responded? They started like online warfare towards me.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. And I still to this day have not lived like past it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, and I'm like, I'm a 33 year old man.
Yeah.
And I'm being still bullied by mean teenage girls.
They're the worst.
It's really crazy.
They're really horrendous.
They have websites and blogs and Tumblrs and Twitter accounts.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It's to me, I'm just like, and Brian Sweeney, the comedian, he thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of funny that, because also your response is very measured, but also I completely clearly fell on deaf ears.
Well, they stopped.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like,
but then they took it up later.
They took it up. They're like, this is not over yet.
Right.
And part of it is like, it strained relationships with drag queens. And it's like, you know, to me, I'm always like, where is this hate coming from? Well, recently on YouTube, we interviewed this one drag queen who is gorgeous at an expo, at a drag con expo. And she was covered head to toe in glitter.
The Egyptian one.
And I guess she's, it got blogged somewhere
in Egypt.
In the Middle East and some, you know, with in a country with Arabic language. Mm-hmm. And so every day I have to spend like 15 minutes banning and blocking and translating people in Arabic on YouTube because YouTube won't provide like an automatic translation for it, even though they have the Google Translate. Mm-hmm. And so I have to translate and find out whether the words in Arabic are in support of her or against her.
Wow.
And a lot of it is violent and hate speech and, you know, targeting to her specifically. And I'm just like, you know, to the point I just went ahead and just turned off comments for the video. Cause I was like,
it's not worth it.
This is not worth the 10 cents we get from that video every month, you know?
I think that I know it creates more engagement, but I think that at this point, turning off comments is like such a great thing to do.
If you can.
Yeah.
Some sites won't let you, you know?
Right.
Reddit's one of those.
Well, like Scientific America doesn't allow you to comment on anything. They made that editorial choice maybe 5 or 6 years ago because the studies have shown you can present an entire like scientific study research based on something and say this is how it is, all the science behind it, but then when you open it up to the comments, if you just have one person with no degree, no science, just kind of dispute the claim for whatever, it automatically builds doubt in somebody else's mind. So they're just like, we're not here for that. If you want to share the article and then have your bullshit science put up there, then do that, but you're not doing it on our website.
Right.
A German court has ruled that hangovers are an illness.
Wow.
Yeah, the higher regional court in Frankfurt.
You are one sick motherfucker.
Made the decision because a company sold like an anti-hangover product and people were saying that it was like based on these health claims and stuff like that. And like, well, you know, does it help? You know, does it help this at all? Because a hangover is an illness. And so next time you call in work because you're hungover, you can just be like, I'm sorry, I'm too ill to come in today.
That's wild. I quit drinking too early.
Yeah.
Didn't we all? All of us.
I know. I had so much fun when I drank.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hated the hangovers.
So bad. So bad. I could imagine. I mean, hangovers, that makes sense that it's an illness.
I mean, did you stop drinking because of recovery or because it just for medical reasons or just because you're saving money or
I was like off alcoholic. So just I didn't want to mess up my life. Comedian. I was a Chicago comedian and I was like, you know what? This isn't doing me good. And I was like, you know, I almost lit my apartment on fire. And I was like, you know,
oh,
I
my think that's God. It. Really?
How'd you do that?
Well, I'm a vegan. And so when I came home, I was like, what am I going to make?
You're worried about boys coming over and breaking vases, but you set your apartment on fire.
I've had 4 years of peace and I'm not going back to it. Right.
So I was been sober 4 years?
4.5 years. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's but I lived in a studio at the time and I was like, I was poor and vegan and I was like, I don't really have food, but I do have rice. And so I just put rice on the stove and passed out and woke up at 6 a.m. to my neighbors banging on the door like, your apartment's on fire. And I was like, oh, God. And so I was like, I'll take care of it. So I opened the window, locked my door and turned off the stove and just tried to air it out. And,
wow. Oh, I thought you like ignored it.
I mean, it was pretty smoky. Like was bad.
I had a friend and he was he came home drunk and decided he was going to make some hot dogs and rice or something like that. Again, passed out on and woke up to a smoke filled apartment. And he was taking care of his friend's 27 cockatoos. All of them died except for two baby cockatoos.
Oh my God. Vacation.
So he had to, like, when this woman came back from Turkey, be like, all your birds are dead.
That is the most terrifying.
Yeah.
Don't
cook when you're drunk.
That is
horrible. You can microwave.
Also,
but then you have that beeping going on forever.
And also, you know those buckwheat things that you can put in the microwave to heat up your feet in winter?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be nice to go to bed with a warm one of those one time, and I didn't know the difference between 2 minutes and 2 hours, and I for sure lit it on fire.
Holy shit.
When I was drunk. So you can cause fires with microwaves too.
You know? And that's the thing. It's like when I look back on my life and I think, God, all the times that I've hurt myself or bruised myself and stuff like that, I'm like, oh my God, I've been, you know, I was
drunk. Every one of them. Yeah.
So it's amazing how like unbruised I am these days.
Yeah.
Well, Channing Tatum, a painting of Channing Tatum with his nuts hanging out. Just sold for $6,000 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
6, you were a little late to bid on that, Mark. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's him kind of splayed out and his legs are, you see a little bit of his buttocks, but then it's like, it's mostly just like his big giant low hanging balls sticking out is the thing that you kind of like your eye is drawn to.
I think the wild thing about that painting is that it doesn't look like the material of those pants should afford such hanging balls.
You know, he has gorgeous. I mean, I don't know if the real Channing Tatum looks as good as he does in these paintings, but damn.
Well, Channing is a very, very, very handsome man.
Because he's not wearing any pants. And so, you know, it's a here now that it's at one point the bid was $11,000, but it, you know, like. It may be one of those situations where when they finally get the money, it's not going to come through. So we don't know.
Wow. You could still get it. How big is the painting?
You know, I think it's small.
Really?
It said something like when I was looking at the listing, it was something like smaller than 12 inches or something. Or it was around 12 inches.
It was 8 inches.
Those balls look bigger than 12 inches.
Oh, how tall are you? I'm 6 foot. 8 inches. And it's like, forget about the 6 feet. Let's talk about the 8 inches.
Is that
May West. West. To 12 inches. So that's tiny. It's not a big painting. No. If I wanted a nude painting of Channing Tatum, I'd want a big one.
I could paint you a painting of Channing Tatum.
Those balls do look too big, though, right?
They look like avocados. Fausto, you better watch out.
I'm going to stab my other hand getting to
that. Those are his legs. He doesn't have pants on.
Yeah. No, there's no pants.
I felt like the texture of those looked like pants.
I'm like, let me flip up this photo to see what they're talking
about.
Just, in these legs.
It looks like purple with hair on it. So I was like, that looks like pants.
Yeah, it's a weird moire kind of effect to it or something.
He's got bad circulation.
So, you know, he's openly bisexual and, you know,
is he really?
Yeah, he's divorced now. So he's single and ready to show off
It seems like a lot of entertainers are announcing that they're single now.
That they're single and bisexual.
Well, they're just, you know, that's what they're putting out books and articles in New York Times, you know. Yeah,
they sure are.
They're like, hey, folks, I'm ready. Single. Come single, and get it. That's the thing, you know, when you're in the public eye, all your relationships and you involve your sexual partner, your romantic partner into your business, your show business, it can, you know, you have to have a strong relationship.
Oh, I think so. I think it seems like the people who are successful at it develop their relationship.
Because Mark and I, we're in the public eye.
Yeah.
And people all the time telling Mark all kinds of shit about me. And they all come up to me and they're all, the one thing they want to know is how to get to into Mark's pants.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh, look at that. Well, that's sweet that they feel comfortable asking you that.
And I'm like,
people ask me all the time, how are we going to get to faster? I said, well, spend the next 5 years lifting weights at the gym and be maybe patient. He'll be interested in
you. Well, I'm a slow mover. I'm a thinker. Slow,
whereas I'm more fast.
You're like,
what? I'm a mover and a shaker.
So that, yeah,
but it is, you know, and it's the thing that a lot of people are in relationships. They ask us for relationship advice. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, look, I'm not going to be like Dan Savage. I'm not going to give you some bullshit and try to make money off of it. And, you know, which may or may not be true or may not work. You know, I really don't know. I tell people to do something creative together, but sometimes even that isn't enough. And sometimes people, relationships change and grow and end. And, you know, some people are terrible with each other, but they're madly in love and they burn the world together. You know, look at Melania and Trump and Trump.
Mm-hmm. And Trump. You know?
And Donald Trump, you know, it's like, I don't know if they love each other or not, but they're, you know, certainly eager to set the world on fire.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Let's do a shout out to Greta Thunberg for speaking out about climate control. Trump tweeted an article that she was quoted in saying, people are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. And he tweeted that and was like, she seems like a very happy young girl looking forward to a bright, wonderful future. So nice to see.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. And
so she changed her Twitter handle. It says Greta Thunberg. A very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future.
Oh, she is smart. She's a smart kid.
Oh, she is smart. And she's just like, she's not going to take it.
No.
And did you see the video of her like eyeballing Trump when he came into the UN? She was just like, oh my fucking God.
It's like those mean girls at the drag queen expo.
This is a great use for that teenage girl energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Because the thing about it is like a lot of youth culture gets co-opted really fast.
Yeah.
And we like to think that, you know, youth culture is progressive, and they are for, you know, 99% of it. But there are a lot of young people, especially on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. You know, the hate speech directed at this young woman on social media is insane.
I can't even imagine. I hope that I'm sure that she does have a great support network, but I can't even imagine at that age receiving international hate.
Well, for a hot minute, you were getting that.
Yeah.
When you were playing Donald Trump's son.
I was playing Trump.
Trump Jr.
Trump Jr.
And people were like, you know, threatening you.
I mean, and it was so minor compared to what most people, you know, if you're in the like international public eye, what you get. And it's, I didn't expect it to, because I kind of got warned before I did it by a reporter that like, she was like, are you ready for this? And I was like, yeah, why not? And I was like, but I didn't realize what a mental toll it takes on you.
Is this before or after you set the apartment on fire?
This is after. So it already, I was like, look, I can set apartments on fire. I think I'll be fine.
It's all right. I don't need this social media anyways.
Yeah.
Have you seen this blinking meme guy, this blonde guy? They used him as a reaction.
Gary Elwes.
Yeah. What is that from?
So that is a guy. You thought it was Carrie?
I thought
Ellis?
That was Carrie. That's not.
He looks like him. And that's who I thought it was at first, too. But it is definitely not him.
What?
No, he's this dude. And he was making a video game kind of show, like where they play games with other people. And it was a reaction to one of his friends on the show saying, I've been doing some farming with my hoe here. And he kind of like raised his eyebrow and did a couple blinks and stuff. And yeah, it was done back in 2013, but it took, you know, until about 2017 for it to kind of like catch on and become a meme. And so now he's kind of coming forward and he's using his meme status now to raise money for his bike ride to fight MS.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
cool. His name is Drew Scanlon, at Drew Scanlon.
Well, it's like the Star Wars kid. You remember him, Gishin?
Yeah. Oh, and he was totally bullied, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
Gishwane Raza. He's from Canada. He had gotten a hockey puck, and he just decided to clown around at Darth Maul, and it got posted on the internet, and he was just ruthlessly bullied. He was traumatized by that. The kid who played Darth Vader in the original prequels...
Yeah, Anakin.
Anakin, yeah, the little boy.
Jake. Yeah. I went to school with him.
You did? What? He was traumatized by that experience.
I'm sure he was. Hey, I went to Columbia College. I didn't know him, but he was at parties and stuff that I was at.
Oh, so after he had done all the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, because George Lucas gave him his own film company. So he was going to, I think, UIC or something like that for film. So he's here in Chicago for
Studying. So you guys were in school together.
Wait, so so he started as this little kid in Star Wars, and part of his payment was George Lucas gave him his own film company.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's up to.
But he doesn't act now, does he?
I don't think so.
He says that the fans of Star Wars made his life hell, and you know, the two Star Wars kids traumatized by that film franchise. And, you know, and part of it is like all these people with the memes, you know, like Mark and I always, in the early days of the internet, we were always posting shit about ourselves, and it never caught fire except one photo of me as a blue alien from Star Trek. We went to an off-track horse racing place.
What is this story?
So it was our friend's birthday party, and the theme was like a sci-fi adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And we were Mark and I went dressed as Andorians from Star Trek with, you know, the blue people with the white antenna.
Our friend's name was David Andorra, was his last name.
And it was a costume party, right? And so I had to pee, and I guess like the club didn't have a bath. I don't remember why we were peeing there, but we took a picture of it. And it got posted on the internet, and for a while, it's like that picture of the gay Andorian in the urinals was everywhere.
That is wild. That is like it's always the ones you don't expect.
And I never got any money off of it, and I was always like screaming at the blogs, "That's me, that's me." But the like the lipstick lesbian pride flag, I designed that as a joke for Cougar Pride because. Time magazine had written an article about the sexual awakening of mature women.
Yeah.
And it's like, cougars is all the rage. And I was like, oh, it's cougar pride. So I took the bear pride flag and changed the colors and then put a lip, you know, on the upper right. And this lesbian blog took it pixel by pixel and said, this is the new lipstick lesbian flag.
Dirty thieving lesbians.
And they're TERFs.
They're TERFs.
Of course they're TERFs, you know? And then in the early days of the internet, like AOL days, you could like put really crude GIFs on your profile. And I had made a Puerto Rican pride flag, but instead of the triangle for Puerto Rico, I put a pink triangle in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted that on there. And then my sister, she made a version with blue, you know, the more traditional looking one. And in 2000, somebody copyrighted that design. And most recently, like people on the internet now are like saying that they're designed the Puerto Rican pride flag and that the Progress pride flag that Daniel Quasar designed is an appropriation of that.
And you're like, yeah, but I did the original one.
I'm like, I did it. It's cool with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's cool that the lipstick lesbians did it, but just include trans women. That's all I ask.
Yeah. I think it's cool to have. I love having flags for different stuff.
Yeah, I have a flag for, like, you know, mopping the floor.
Yeah. Is it a mop?
Funny, it's not, actually. It's a really confusing flag. But yeah. the flag of going, you know, to the grocery store, and flags for, like, brushing your teeth.
Just, I imagine you walking around with one of, like, a flag on your back like they do, like, for biking.
It's like, hey, do you mind, fill up the car with gas? It's like, don't have the fill up with car gas pride flag. Sorry. Can't do it. Shannon, it's always good to see you.
It's so good to see you both as well.
Yes.
Good so to much see fun. You too. Yeah.
Good luck on your tea adventures.
Thank you. I will let you know. I will call you, Fausto.
You will? Give
us the tea on the tea.
I'll give you the tea on the tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, the truth.
I say just dive right in.
Yeah.
Be reckless.
Pull out the pack. Do you have it with you here?
I'm not carrying them with me, but
I'm just like, pull it out.
I want to do that. You're like, I want to see it.
Squirt it.
Just initial dose. Just feel how it feels, you know?
I feel like this is better advice than 13-year-olds on YouTube. I'm going to
go for it. You've done worse things to your body before.
Oh my God, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can always scale back a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Just do it.
We're not doctors. We're not.
PSA.
You know, I'm sure some random listener is probably going to write to you on Facebook and be like, this is what you need to do.
This is the way. Okay, if anybody's listening, I have 1.62% knockoff androgel packets.
Oh,
all right.
Give it to me if you don't want it. Let's party!
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
And for just $1, I will Photoshop Billy Porter's hat onto your head. I'm not kidding. Or I'll even retouch a photo, like, you know, reasonably speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend hours on it.
Professionally retouch photos, too, if somebody wants a good photo really redone.
If you want to become a member at our Patreon, I will retouch any photo for you. Just send me the photo. And it's just for $1. You spend more money on that stupid app that you never use. Seriously. You know, you download it and you're like, I just can't use it. It's too complicated. Fausto, finish it for me, please.
Shannon, where are you playing out these days?
You can check me out. I'll be actually probably check out Just Call Me Ripley, which is my web series on OTV, formerly Open Television. Mm-hmm. You can just type in justcallmeripley.com and watch that.
And it's OTV, not off track betting, but Open Television.
But also, if you want to go to off track betting as a blue alien, that sounds like a pretty good deal,
too. Have you ever been to all those places?
No, I've gone by many and I've known
trashy. It's like Las Vegas without the glamour.
It seems like a place, like, it's just like all Tom Waits in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Basically.
It's depressing as fuck. I mean, there's just chain smoking liquor and TV sets with horses racing on them.
5 years ago, I would have loved that.
You're like, take me there. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.